Lecture 34, The Soviet Union After Stalin.
This lecture explores the Soviet experience in the years after the Second World War, years that were an important part of the lives of many Russians today, but also that in many ways produced the conditions that ultimately led to the collapse of the communist system in 1991. As I mentioned last time, the mood of most Soviet people at the end of the war was filled with hope and possibility. They were enormously relieved over their victory, indeed proud of their victory in this long and costly war. But they were also hopeful in many ways. They expected they would be rewarded for their support, for their victory, with a more relaxed life, with a more normal life by European standards. And instead, in the name of rebuilding the devastated country, and it was enormously devastated in the course of the war, instead they got a return to the disciplines, the repressions of the past on an intensified scale. For example, for most collective farmers, the large majority of the population, collectivization was re-strengthened. The lands that peasants had taken for their own private use, so critical to the marketing of grain during the war, were reappropriated and given back to the collective farms. And peasants were put under increasing efforts, increasing pressures within these collective farms to deliver to the state more grain than ever before. In industry, investment was intensely directed at heavy industry, even compared to the degree of consumer support for consumer industry during the 1930s. Most production of consumer goods suffered enormously in the post-war period. Also, partly due to the shortages, prices of necessities even, food, clothing, were allowed by the government, which controlled prices, to rise dramatically. In the cities, there were terrible shortages of housing, which was not a priority in the post-war period. Better to rebuild industry than to rebuild housing. And the problem was an old problem, that people were crowded into these communal apartments, komunalki as they were called, but also due to the devastation during the war. Repair of buildings was very slow. Cultural life, intellectual life, was also severely restricted in these immediate post-war years. Writers or intellectuals who refused to conform, and many of which involved simply repeating the sorts of ideas of nation and national unity that were heard during the war, writers such writers and intellectuals were now viciously condemned in public for not adhering to the official party line of ideas and literature and art. To give one example, the poet Anna Akhmatova, who we've heard about before, a well-known poet from before the revolution and remained an important Soviet poet, was one of many leading writers in Soviet life condemned publicly by, in particular, a man named Andrei Zhdanov, who was one of Stalin's closest advisors and in charge of culture. And his critique was rather typical. It was harsh and it was crude. For her writing mostly about subjects like love and personal life, rather than about socialist construction, he declared she was nothing but a whore for her subject matter. This sort of suggests the tenor of the times in the post-war years. And finally, in its relations with the West, the old allies during the war, relations became more tense than they had been in years, certainly something reminding much more of the earlier Stalin years. During the war, of course, the alliance with England and the United States seemed to many Russians to promise an end to their long isolation, to their hostility to the West in the post-revolutionary years. And instead, a new, what was called Cold War, developed. Though, to be sure, it wasn't simply because of Stalin's attitudes or the Soviet side. Hostility to communism in the West was also an important reason for the development of this Cold War.